We are looking at Luke chapter 11 this morning, so if you want to grab your Bibles, we're going to be looking at the kind of way Jesus said to one of his disciples that we should pray. And as we do, we should be looking at what these scriptures actually say rather than what we think we know. Because, you know, over the years, you know, we've all been Christians, most of us anyway, for many years, and we've probably all come up with our own ideas about this. So let's dive straight in and let's read the first four verses of Luke 11, and then we'll back up and we'll take a closer look. So Luke chapter 11, verses 1 to 4, say this. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So, as you probably guessed, we're going to be talking about prayer this morning, and we don't often get the opportunity, perhaps as much as we should, to talk about prayer because it's such a vital thing. So let's go back to verse 1, and it starts by saying, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Now, as I said, it's really interesting to take note of this, because in all four Gospels, there's no place where the disciples say, teach us anything else. I mean, imagine being around Jesus for all those years and watching him calm the wind and the sea and walk upon the water and raise the dead and cleanse the lepers and open the word in such a way that people were just astonished at what he said, and watch him love the unlovable, and all of the things they'd seen and witnessed in all of that time, and through all of those things, the one thing they asked Jesus is to teach them to pray. Teach us to pray, they say. I mean, they don't say teach us to heal, do they? They don't say teach us to be Bible teachers, or teach us that walking on the water thing, or how do we catch fish with coins in their mouths, or how do we turn water to wine? This disciple says, Lord, teach us to pray. Now, it does say that he was praying, and evidently they've been watching him do that. Because it says, when he ceased, one of his disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. Now, we don't know which one it was. We're not given that information. But I think the reason this question gets asked in the first place is because they realise that all of what he was and all that he did flowed from prayer. And then notice, this disciple, whichever one it was, you know, he wasn't asking for a technique or a system or an art form or a ritual to follow, was he? You know, it wasn't even a matter of how to do it. He doesn't say, teach us how to pray, does he? He doesn't say that. You know, should I stand? Should I kneel? Should I close my eyes? This guy wanted to pray like Christ prayed. And I believe that this is because, hanging out with the Lord, they all understood that his teaching and his witnessing and his miraculous power, indeed everything he was and did, was linked to and was as a result of his devoted prayer life. And you see, it was a fact that, and no doubt the disciples knew it as well, that the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they taught their disciples to pray. You know, it says that about John the Baptist, and he taught his disciples, but the Pharisees and the Sadducees taught their disciples to pray as well, and they taught them a certain prayer for death a certain prayer for births, a certain prayer for weddings, and a certain prayer for bar mitzvahs. They were all stereotyped. I mean, you maybe remember going to church before you were a believer, and you would pray like that. You know, maybe you even read prayers out of a book that someone else had written. They weren't your prayers at all. And they probably sounded like, "Oh, most heavenly Father, you know, thou that madest heaven and earth." You know, imagine our kids coming to you and saying, "Oh, great daddy, givest me a chocolate chip cookie," you know. I mean, what on earth? Your kids can come running up to you and they could just dive on you. I mean, when I'm studying in my study, it's never been a no-go area. You know, my wife and kids have always had the right to burst in whenever they want to. Usually they haven't done that, but there's never been an exclusion zone. I've never been inaccessible to my family, and God is never inaccessible to us. Never. And I think we should all give our family a right picture of who our Heavenly Father actually is. And as I said, this disciple doesn't say to Jesus, "Teach us how to pray," does he? He doesn't say that. And that is so very important. He says, "Teach us." In the Greek, it's to be praying. Lord, make us prayers. Teach us to be praying people, a people of prayer. It's not how-to, because this is not a how-to thing. And yet, Christian bookshops, you know, they're filled with books on prayer, how to pray. I think I've mentioned it before, but there's a guy called Ian Bounds that has 5 volumes on how to do that. And yet, when Ian Bounds died, he said that he wasn't happy with his prayer life. So you kind of think, well, why should I read all 5 of his volumes and know more about prayer than I ever wanted to know and die unhappy? This disciple says, "Teach us to pray." And Jesus says something very remarkable. He says, "When you pray, pray like this." So verse 2 says, "And he said to them, when you pray, say, 'Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come.'" And you have to understand, you know, we've taken that for granted our whole lives because we've always heard it. You can say it, you know, if you're like me, you can say it without thinking, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will," you know. But Jesus, when he's talking in Matthew, says, "But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not you therefore like them, for your Father knows what things you have need of before you ask him." Well, we've taken this prayer and made it into senseless repetition. You see, because you have to understand, Jesus said to these Jews, these disciples, well, if you want to be people that pray, you have to start like this. "Our Father, which art in heaven." Now, in that day, that was revolutionary. Moses never looked to heaven a day in his life and said, "Father." Elijah never looked to heaven and said, "Father." The greatest prophets and holy men of Israel never looked to heaven and said, "Father." It was Jesus that taught them to say, "Father." It was in the Garden of Gethsemane in Mark chapter 14 that Jesus said, "Abba, Father, if there's any way, let this cup pass from me." And so touched were the disciples that Paul hears about that, and he writes Romans chapter 8 verse 15. And he says there, God hasn't given us the spirit of fear, but the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, "Abba, Father." In Galatians chapter 4, verse 6, it says, God has given us the spirit of adoption, of sonship, if you like, whereby we cry, "Abba, Father." And as we all know, Abba is daddy. It's dad. It's dad. And to us, you know, that may sound kind of irreverent, And it would be irreverent except for the fact that Jesus taught us to say it. Except for the fact that his Holy Spirit inspired the writers of the Gospels and the Epistles to tell us that that's the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. And to the Holy Spirit that dwells within us, he is Father. They're saying to Jesus, teach us to be a people that pray. Jesus says to him, well, if you really want that to happen, if you want to be praying people, you have to understand that it's born out of relationship. It's not born out of tradition or liturgy or prayers that someone else has written. It's born out of your relationship. I mean, I got three kids. One of the first things I learned to say was daddy, dad, 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 dad. Prayer is talking. Our kids learned how to do that. Mum, 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 dad, 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 mine, no. They learn, don't they? They learn. And prayer has to be born out of relationship. Our Father, Lord, Daddy. And prayer doesn't have to be difficult. Every one of us who is a believer knows that prayer is the place of power and direction. So why don't we pray? Well, I believe one of the reasons is because we've made it so complicated. We've made it something it was never intended to be, because we've believed the lie of the enemy that prayer is difficult and time-consuming and heavy. And when you think like that, you can even get self-conscious about praying. And in his answer to his disciples' request, teach us to pray, the first thing we're going to see is that Jesus gives a template for prayer. And he teaches them a prayer that is only 62 words long. Imagine that. A prayer just 62 words long. It was as if Jesus was saying, look, keep it simple. In fact, when Jesus gave the same prayer as a model 2 years earlier than this in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6 verse 5, it was just one sentence longer there. Here, in his answer to the request of this disciple, we see Jesus teaching them a prayer which is now only 62 words long. It was as if Jesus was saying, look, don't flower out your prayers with lots of words when only a few will do. But that's what we often tend to do, isn't it? We have a tendency to make things more complicated. But that's not the case with Jesus. He gives us a short prayer to begin with, and then after a couple of years he said, I'll make it even easier for you. In fact, talking about certain scribes at the end of Luke 20, Jesus guards against those who for show make long prayers, and he cites it as one of the things that brings damnation. That's not to say they're wrong, of course, don't get me wrong, but we shouldn't go on praying after we're finished. Because God has told us that he knows what we want even before we ask him. But the important thing to understand is that when the Lord prayed, he prayed differently than the Pharisees and the Sadducees, because his prayers were always from the heart. They were never to impress those around him, and everything he did was as a result of prayer. So, Lord, teach us to be men and women who pray. That's what the disciples said. Jesus says, well, when you pray, the beginning of it all is this: Our Father. Our Father. It was revolutionary then. We've taken it for granted, but we have to put it in its context. And look to heaven and say, Father, our Father. Can you do that this morning? Because this is something that is based on relationship, our relationship with him. If you don't realize that, you will never be someone who prays. And again, we've made it something else, haven't we? Oh, you have to pray with your hands folded together. Did you ever wonder why? You know, I mean, is there some power that goes back and forth between hands? You have to bow your head, you know, and you have to close your eyes when you pray. Did you ever wonder why we have to do that? Because when Jesus prayed, he always looked to heaven. Well, you know, I suppose if you clasp your hands, you're not fiddling with anything else, are you? And if you close your eyes, it's more difficult to be distracted. You know that if you've got kids, when you say grace, because they're kind of peeking, aren't they? And the first thing they say is, I saw Billy, he had his eyes open. Well, how did you see him then? You know. Personally, I just love to pray looking at the ceiling or looking at the sky. I love to pray when I'm out walking. I even love to pray in the car with my eyes open, of course, but because the Bible says we should pray without ceasing. And you can't drive down the road with your arms folded and your eyes closed. I mean, everybody else seems to be driving like that, so you've got to be careful. And personally speaking, you know, I need to pray in traffic because, well, it's for the benefit of my health, really. I need to keep my mind on God instead of what the other drivers are doing. But, but you know, somehow we've taken prayer and we've kind of sterilized it, haven't we? And not only that, but then we've almost legalized everything and we've pigeonholed everything as well. Even to the point of putting certain times of the day aside to talk to God. Imagine if we said to our wives, honey, every morning from 7 to 7:30, we'll talk. No, it goes on all day. We're in communication all day long. That's a relationship, all day. And Jesus is beginning to say here that if you want to be a people who pray, and who doesn't, who shouldn't, you have to understand what it is. You have to understand what it is. And then we do other things as well. You know, like there are 7 steps to prayer. You have to start with thanks. You know, you have to enter his gates with thanksgiving and enter into his courts with praise. And we have to go through all of those things. Well, you know what? That just wouldn't work for me. I just get confused. I forget which step I was on. You know, imagine telling my kids when they were small, no, 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 you skipped step 5. You can't talk to me. You've got to go back and start all over again. 7 steps into Daddy's presence. You know, you've got to enter his gates with thanksgiving. Oh, thank you, Daddy, for paying the gas bill. Thank you for putting food in the fridge. Thank you for buying me clothes. Thank you for buying me a new pair of shoes every week and a half, you know. And then, you know, enter his courts with praise. Oh, Daddy, praise you, Daddy, praise you, Daddy. Oh, that's not a relationship. And we work out a format and we do those things like there's some magic formula. But if we would just talk to him, we wouldn't have to worry about those things. I mean, we could just read the Bible and do what it says. You see, prayer could easily be translated asking, seeking, knocking. How's your asking life? And the reason in our prayer life we cry Abba Father is because we're born again. Genuine real prayer is only the expression of a new birth. If you are a born again Christian, when you were born again, something began to happen in your heart. I mean, when you were a small child, you began by using small words. Dada, mama, mine, no, me. That's the way prayer begins, small words. And then it advances. Can I have the keys to the car? And then it's your turn to say, no, mine, you know. And you kind of switch roles there. But as time goes on, it changes. And there's a genuine relationship there. And this is why Jesus says we have to become like children. Not childish, but childlike in our dependence on him and in our willingness to receive from him. You know, children pray such simple prayers, don't they? Thinking about this, I heard some prayers that children had written, and they made a book out of them. And in it were prayers like, and I'm going to tell you some of them, because if children can pray, anyone can pray. The first one went like this. Dear God, instead of letting people die and having to make new ones, why don't you just keep the ones you've got now? Another one said, "Dear God, do animals use you, or is there somebody else for them?" "Dear God, I went to this wedding and they kissed right in church. Is that okay?" "Dear God, I would like to know why all the things you said are in red." Now, do you think God's saying to these kids, "No, that's not the seven steps. No, 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 no." Here's another one, and I've put my name in this one. It says, "Dear God, is Pastor Bob a friend of yours, or do you just know him for business?" How about, "Dear God, I am British. What are you?" "Dear God, thank you for the baby brother, but what I prayed for was a puppy." Or, "Dear God, it rained for our whole holiday, and was my father mad? He said some things about you that people are not supposed to say, but I hope you will not hurt him anyway. Signed, your friend, but I'm not going to tell you who I am." just one more. "Dear God, if we come back as something else, please don't let me be Haley Jones, because I hate her." A childlike faith. Children pray. Little kids pray. We can all do it, all of us. And we can all say amen at the end as well. And Jesus is going to tell us as we read through this, that this isn't a process where we wear down God until he grants what we want. And if he gets tired enough of hearing from us, he'll finally give in. No, prayer is a process of taking hold of his willingness and doing that in such a simple way. And the disciples are looking at Jesus pray. And something real is happening. It isn't seven steps. It isn't that you have to pray in a certain position. It isn't that you have to have your hands clasped together. What they're seeing when they look at Jesus is that he really has a relationship with God, with his Father. And they see that it's real when he prays. And this guy says, "Teach us that. Teach us to be that way. Teach us to be prayers." And Jesus says, "Well, okay, we'll start here. Our Father." Now, all of this throughout the whole prayer is in the plural. So when you pray, remember that he's everybody else's dad in the church too. Our Father. It's a family prayer. "Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come." So Jesus wants to pray for the coming of the kingdom. Can you honestly do that? Are you so happy here that you don't want to leave this world behind? Jesus wants us to pray for the kingdom to come. The first three things we pray for is the kingdom, his will, and his name. You know, when you get there and begin to talk to God, isn't it funny? You know, I think sometimes we begin to pray and we have these earth-shattering things that are on our hearts. But I think we'll only be there for a few minutes before we begin to think, well, I guess that's not really all that important. And all of a sudden we'll begin to settle down and start to think, "Lord, I'm in your presence, you're holy. What about your will and your kingdom?" Doesn't that seem to kind of push aside, "Lord, give me a new Porsche"? And you know, we'll come there with all of this stuff, but Jesus says, when you come, it's a relationship. It's your Father. But you come on behalf of his name and of his will and of his kingdom. And verse 3 says, "Give us day by day our daily bread." It's a personal petition. It's in the Lord's Prayer. There's nothing wrong with praying that. Some people will try to tell you that we are not spiritual if we pray for ourselves. No. We can pray for that. That's not wrong. We can pray that God would supply our need day by day. Verse 4 says, "And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us." So Jesus knows that this family that's come to talk to their father are sinners. So sin and your struggle should never keep you from coming to him. Condemnation will do that, but not your sin. He knows about that. It says, "But if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." So we also forgive everyone else that is indebted to us. Our lives have been the recipient of his grace, so why should we be any different in regard to others? Lord, forgive those who are indebted to me, because I know that I'm no less in need of your blood than they are. "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil," verse 5. Lead us not into being tested, but deliver us, plural, it's family again. And your Bible should say, from the evil one. So, when you get on your knees or look to the sky or however you do it and you're praying, give us this day our daily bread. When you're praying that, you're not just praying for you. You're probably praying for those in Myanmar. You're praying for those in Central Africa that are believers that are starving. Or those in India, our brothers and sisters. Lord, give us, the whole family of God, our daily bread. And Lord, deliver us from the evil one. It's the plea for the whole family of God. And it's a child pouring out his or her heart before their father. Father, your kingdom, your will. Lord, here we are in this world. Give us our daily provisions, all of us, Father. Those in Iraq this morning, Lord. Those in China that are being persecuted. Lord, give us what we need today. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation. Don't let it be tested. And deliver us from the evil one. And it's an acknowledgement of our dependence on him, just like any child does, you know. Dad, can I have this? Dad, will you do this? Dad, can I have 50p, you know? Because our children are never afraid to say to us, "Give me this day my daily bread and my daily biscuits and my daily pocket money, and I need new trainers and I..." You know, they're not afraid. And we should never ever be afraid to ask our dad. We should never be afraid to pray. And they don't have to be long prayers. Jesus's wasn't, but he did it all the time. And nothing happened if it wasn't as a result of prayer. And dare I say it, nothing much will happen in our lives if we don't pray. So we should do it. We should do it. All of us should do it. We're kids asking our dad. Don't make it complicated. Don't do it for show. Don't make your prayers a news bulletin of the weekly events. Don't you think God knows what's happening in the world? He certainly knows what you're going to pray before you do it. And he knows what you need, and he knows what I need, and he knows what we all need. He just wants to hear us say it. He loves us, and he wants us to ask him. So it's our Father in heaven. Hallowed be your name. I pray, Lord, that your kingdom will come. And I pray that your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, I know that you know that we're sinners. Forgive us, Lord, just as we forgive those who've done nothing wrong or done wrong to us. And Lord, keep us away from temptation. Keep us away, Lord, from being tested, and deliver us from the evil one. And Matthew says, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And Lord, we ask all these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, Amen.